I think it's just so surprising when you go back through and you find like all of these old magazines and newspapers from these French publications, and like he's on the cover of all of them, and they, you know, giant headlines and that kind of thing. So I don't think you really realize how powerfully important he was at that particular time, and that he was able to carve out not only space for himself, but also just for the African American and Black population on a bigger scale. And I think he understood that right from the get-go. Like, I mean, even as he was doing that, he totally understood that. So that's where it's an extraordinary story, right? I mean, like, you know, so he set all these world records and he did all this wonderful stuff, and that's certainly fine, but it's not really a bicycling movie as it is about race and society.
Before football was at the top of the American imagination, before basketball was creating stars, the U.S., and really the world, was obsessed with track cycling. That's where the stars were. And right at the turn of the 20th century, the superstar was Major Taylor. Major Taylor got his start in Indianapolis, and a documentary about his life comes out this Monday, February 26th. It was produced right here at the WFIU-WTIU offices by Todd Gould. Todd recently made the trek downstairs to the radio studios to talk with me about who Major Taylor was and how making a documentary is really less about the film and more about the community that results. So, Major Taylor. He was born in 1878 in Indianapolis. His parents named him Marshall Walter Taylor.
His father served in the U.S. Colored Troops during the Civil War, and then they moved from Kentucky up to Indiana right before he was born to be able to have greater economic freedoms, social freedoms, and things like that in Indiana that the family was not able to get in Kentucky. And he, as a youngster, started working for a couple of different bicycle manufacturers in Indianapolis. This was before automobiles really came into vogue, when people didn't have automobiles. But bicycles were the fad. That was the trend at the turn of the 20th century. And this gave him an opportunity, even as a young African American, to be able to carve out a place for himself and to give him some agency.
He wasn't just working at the bike shops. He was also riding. And one day, a couple of promoters saw him in this race.
Where he, even completely untrained, he was able to step in and be within 2 seconds of the world record for the 1 mile race. And so they said, hey, I think we can really do something with this kid. And if we train him correctly and help him in some ways, he actually has a chance to be an amazingly talented athlete. This was a time also when track cycling was more popular than baseball. It was more popular than horse racing. It was more popular than boxing at the time. People that were in this particular sport were making more money than anybody else. So, like, the top baseball players of the era would make $2,500 a year. Okay, Ty Cobb and Christy Mathewson, these top baseball players, would make $2,500 a year. Major Taylor, at the same time, was making over $50,000 a year, year after year after year. So it helps to kind of puts around that as to what this guy was able to do and the kind of talent that he had. He went to Canada to win the world championship at that time, and then was able to then start racing all over the United States. He was racing all over Europe. He was a sensation at the time. I mean, I think as the only black face in the crowd, he stood out, most certainly, but I think it was also something that intrigued fans of the sport and then sort of launched him into this stratosphere of amazing athleticism and talent. He was also, he spoke three languages, and he played the piano and the mandolin. He was really kind of a Renaissance man at that particular time. And coming from a very humble background where he had no formal education, and his father was a coachman that helped take care of a wealthy white family's horses, and so they would take him along. And so this was something that was so incredibly unlikely that this would have happened, right? But because he created these opportunities for himself, even from a very young age, he was able to come through, and then they were able to have him come in and set these world records and set the world on fire, basically, with the excitement that surrounded this guy. And he was attracting 15, 20,000 people to each event that he was coming to. So that was a big deal at the time, and something that was very exciting, I think, for fans as well as other racers, promoters that wanted to, you know, have, you know, the Michael Jordan of track cycling to be able to step in with that kind of that high level of talent.
He was on the cover of magazines across Europe, and he did product endorsements too.
His role, even as a spokesman for for them to hire a black face to come and promote, bicycle parts or other things that he was helping to promote, right? They would say, you know, we want this guy to help sell products and have these kind of commercial endorsements. And that was at a time when that was not happening either. But Major Taylor was so good and so famous that, like, people wanted him to be a part of that.
Because he'd been such a big deal and because so few people know about him today, and because he was from Indianapolis, Todd decided to do a documentary about him.
Yes.
And then you had to go and track down all the history.
Right, right. So a lot of it is sort of digging through. There are four or five really good biographies that have been written about Taylor. So I read those. He has his own autobiography. So I read all of that. And then you sort of figure out, how do we tell the story most effectively, right? Sometimes it might be a soundbite from a historian or archivist or athletes and sports executives, right? To talk specifically about the fact that, because Major Taylor did this, that gave me an opportunity, 100 years later to be able to do these same kinds of things in the world of sports. So I think that's exciting. So, I was reading up about all of that and then also starting to dig through a lot of old photograph archives. And there's no film footage of Major Taylor that newsreel film and stuff like that didn't really exist at the time, nor do we have any radio interviews or anything with him. But I do have a ton of photographs that I've been able to locate, and not just with a couple of archives here in the United States, but giant archives in Paris and in Germany.
There were also a lot of photos in private collections, and finding those was a real treat for Todd because the professional archivists got excited and they could bring those photos into the public record by showing them in the documentary.
And then make sure that person who's the private collector is then linked with the archivists in these other places around the United States to make sure that they have connections to be able to use those maybe perhaps, in something later on as some sort of exhibit that they're maybe trying to do.
In some ways, that's Todd's whole goal in making documentaries. It's almost not about the film itself, but the connections he can help people make beyond the film.
I find that stuff just not only fascinating, but just incredibly exciting for me as a filmmaker to be able to say, let's pull all these groups together. Have you met so-and-so? Have you met so-and-so? Do you realize that this person has this thing? And, one person might be in San Diego and somebody else is in Chicago and somebody else is in Boston. And they're like, we had no idea, but now they're all talking to one another, right? So, we could talk a little bit about the Congressional Gold Medal Act, but that all kind of came about too because I was connecting some people in Chicago with this museum in Massachusetts and people in Indianapolis. And so trying to get all these people to talk to one another. And now we have this opportunity because of Congressman Jonathan Jackson's efforts in the House of Representatives.
And he is Jesse Jackson's son.
Yeah. So Jonathan Jackson is Jesse Jackson's son and the godson of Martin Luther King Jr. And he is a congressman from the 1st District of Illinois, which is in Chicago. And he is wanting to promote this Congressional Gold Medal Act to try to get Congress to recognize Major Taylor, posthumously.
They interviewed Congressman Jackson for the film, and Todd said that a lot of people came up to the congressman after the interview to push for Major Taylor to get a Congressional Gold Medal. The congressman said yes, he would introduce an act to try to make that happen. And then
2 weeks later, I turn it on YouTube, and there he is on the floor of Congress reading that very act. And I was like, there we go. And so I think, boy, that's, to the extent that we can help facilitate that as PBS and NPR storytellers, I think that's, the very best thing that we can do.
I actually really love that idea that the legacy really of what comes about is through the creation of this documentary is not the documentary itself, but the conversations that happen.
Yes.
All the people you bring together.
Absolutely, Alex. That's exactly what it is. And so it's so fun and rewarding for me to see that kind of stuff happen.
Major Taylor premieres on WTIU and PBS Passport on Monday, February 26th at 8 p.m.